Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you joining us today. I'm excited about our next guest, and he is Chris Carlson. Chris is the sales coach from Seattle, Washington, and we're going to talk about the 4 R's for sales success. So, Chris, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Bill. Really looking forward to it.
Me too, Chris. Tell us a little bit about you and your background and what you do.
Well, Bill, after getting out of the Army, I spent 19 years in the insurance business, anywhere from being a salesperson to a regional manager to a national sales manager. Then I got into the world of sales coaching and sales training, and I've been doing that for 14 years now. So what's really exciting to me is I get to take all of that stuff that I learned over those 19 years and now put it into play to help, you know, individuals and companies with their sales efforts.
Well, that's great, and they're very succinct. And so what types of groups do you work with? Is it business owners that have sales teams or individuals that are in sales or all of the above?
All of the above. And what I find is that, you know, certainly there's a lot of companies out there, many solopreneurs, if you will, that every single day they have to go out there and generate sales and generate revenue. And they're really motivated to make sure that they do that and increase their revenue, all the way to organizations that have very large sales organization or salespeople rather, and you have layers of sales management. So it's anywhere from the solopreneur all the way up to, you know, the multi-million dollar company.
Now, of course, we had a guest on earlier, and we were talking about lead generation and how technology and people's habits have changed over the last 20 years, and certainly I'm sure you've seen a lot of changes over those years. Are we going to talk about the development of a lead and getting someone to have a sales appointment, or are we going to talk about what happens at a sales appointment?
Well, I think what we might do is we might talk about the entire process. All the way from that lead generation all the way to closing the sale.
Okay. Do the 4 R's factor into all of that? Is it too early to ask you what are the 4 R's?
I think it's a great time, Bill, and the topic that you had on earlier is so spot on, because at the end of the day, I believe the most difficult thing in sales is to get that initial appointment or that initial phone call, you know, that initial contact, if you will, to be able to start the conversation, which is really the first of the 4 R's that I talk about. And the first of the 4 R's is raise, as in get somebody to raise their hand to initiate that conversation. And Bill, to your point, is it's changed from when I first entered in sales. When I was started in sales, the only way I could get somebody to raise their hand, if you will, to talk to me was to either call them on the phone or knock on their door. Well, as we know, nobody answers their phone anymore because they have caller ID and voicemail. So it's changed dramatically. And if you're in B2B sales, it's for many places, it's very difficult to even get into buildings to make that, you know, that drop-in cold call. So all the tools that exist today have changed that first step in the sales process dramatically. And the companies that have figured out, I think, are really crushing it, and the ones that are struggling with how to use the technology and execute properly are the ones that are very, very frustrated with getting more people to raise their hand.
Yeah, and the other side of it is the holder of the knowledge used to be the person selling the product, and that has flipped dramatically over to where the holder, anybody can find out anything about anything these days with a few clicks of a keystroke. And so the consumer is a lot of times has done the research before the salesperson even shows up or before they seek out someone to help them with the purchase.
Bill, you are so spot on. And we remember the phrase buyer beware. Well, that's flipped to your point, and now it's seller beware, because we have to be on our game as sales professionals, because to your point, that particular prospect has done an incredible amount of research in what they're looking for in that initial conversation is congruency, i.e., is what you're telling me congruent with the research that I've already done in this particular product or service that I'm getting ready to buy.
Mm-hmm. Good point. So let's talk a little bit about getting someone to raise their hand, and These days, you know, I hear a lot from people that first you have to build a likability, a relationship, and that's where social media and some of these other things come in, not to close a sale, to build a relationship, a likability, so that you're top of mind and brand awareness in their mind. What are some of the other tips you can give our listeners on how to get people to raise their hands these days?
Well, I think that there's three ways to take the likability and turn it into credibility, and that is publish, speak, and get referrals. And publishing is anywhere from doing things like what we're doing today, getting on the radio, to writing a book, doing blogs, doing webinars, doing live casting, and then, of course, speaking in front of groups of your targeted audience. Because it's amazing how often when we as sales professionals give a presentation that is not focused on us but focused on the people that are in the audience and we add value, how we become the recognized expert and how people want to talk to us. And then finally, you know, the absolute best way to establish the likability / credibility is through referrals. So if we get salespeople to focus on publishing, speaking, and getting referrals, become masterful at that, I promise that they will have a pipeline of overflowing great prospects.
Great point. So all of what you said takes that extra effort that a lot of people aren't willing to do. That is to write a book, become a thought leader, network, get your name out there, public speaking. A lot of people hate to do that. And in the insurance world and other financial services world, a lot of people are just afraid to ask for that referral. But what you really need is to do such a great job and position yourself so well early on that people are automatically telling other people about you these days. Is that right?
You're exactly right. Is what we can do with everything that you just said, especially the term you used, the thought leadership, is we create advocates that people can't wait to brag about us to their friends or colleagues. And that's where we really need to position ourselves, is to do a much better job of that. And, you know, Bill, you said something I think is very, very critical. You said people don't want to take the time. But what is really interesting is so many sales professionals, though, will take the time to cold call and get very little results, if any results, and spend hours and hours and hours doing that, but won't take the time to do things that are much more effective, like publishing and speaking and getting referrals.
Yeah, good point. And so this is not a time to sit back and say, let's do what's always worked, because what's always worked doesn't necessarily work anymore. Things are evolving and changing, and who knows what kind of changes we'll see in the future. I mean, right now, people are getting inundated with email messaging, and even social media could change radically down the road as people become so kind of weary of that, right?
Oh, there is no question. And that's one, I think, the biggest challenge that sales professionals have is there is so much noise out there. You know, estimates say that the average consumer gets bombarded with thousands of messages a day, anywhere from, you know, going online to checking out a YouTube video to driving down the street where they see messages on vans and billboards. And our challenge as a sales professional is, how in the heck do I get through all that clutter to get in front of a prospect that I'm targeting where they say to themselves, now that's somebody I need to talk to? And so coming in, what I call above the line of credibility, is so critical in our world as a sales professional. And, you know, some of the things that we talked about, you know, using social media properly, making sure that we take advantage of the publishing tools that are out there, speaking to audiences we want to target and getting referrals goes a long way to helping us get through all that clutter so that first conversation goes so much better than it has in the past.
So key number one is differentiate in a meaningful way that's going to position you as a thought leader. What's the second R?
The second R is what I call run. And when I run that prospect through your sales system, your sales process, run them through the pipeline. Excuse me. Now, when I say run, I'm not suggesting that we have to go fast through our sales process or go fast through our sales pipeline. But we do have to take them through a process from that first meeting all the way to they make a decision whether they want to move forward with us or not. And for some of your listeners, they have a sales process or a sales cycle that is really, really quick. It could be as much as a one-call process. And I work with organizations that literally have a 12 or 18-month or longer sales process. But the key is we have to run them through a defined sales process that we can control versus being constantly controlled by our prospects.
In your experience, do most people in sales have that process put together, or are they just winging it?
They're absolutely winging it. And here's what happens, is the true superstars is they wing it, but they wing it so well that they're superstars. The vast majority of people struggle, and they try this approach this week, and then they try a different approach next week because they went to a seminar or somebody gave them a tip, and then the third week they do something entirely different, and which, of course, makes absolutely no sense. You know, it would be like, you know, if we were going to get on an airplane and the pilot decided to do it, you know, three different ways, three different weeks. There's a system that gets us from point A to point B on an airplane, and we need to do the same type of thing when it comes to sales.
Yeah, it'd be like if we were manufacturing a product, we wouldn't reinvent a new machine every week to try to crank out the same product. We need to come up with that process. Now, what's the stumbling point for most people in creating that process?
You know, that's a great question. I think that the first thing is that to what we said earlier about in terms of prospecting is they don't take the time to analyze what has been successful in the past. That's number one. But most importantly is number two is they once they do that, they're not committed to that process. When something doesn't go exactly as planned, or maybe it is getting used to doing something different and the results aren't as quick as they want, they'll change.
So it's first of all, maybe not analyzing what's worked in the past. And second is being committed to whatever it is that they define has worked as they create this process and sticking with it.
You know, it's very similar to if you play golf and you change your grip. When you first change your grip, you get great results, and you tend to stay with it. But then you play a little bit more, and then you kind of fall back into the old habits because maybe you had a couple of stray shots, and that's what happens in sales. We go back to our old grip because that's what we do. We've always done. And so that's what gets us in trouble is we don't stay committed to that process.
Got it. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Hey, we're going to take a quick commercial break, Chris. We'll be back in about 30 seconds with you. So hang in there with us, okay?
Great.
You're listening to one of many shows on ExitCoachRadio.com. We're interviewing advisors, authors, and thought leaders for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. If you'd like to be a guest on any of our shows, go to guest.ExitCoachRadio.com. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
All right, we're back. Welcome back. I'm talking with Chris Carlson, and we're talking about sales strategies, the four R's. And Chris, before the break, we talked about the first two, which were raising your hand and running your customers or your prospects through your pipeline. What's the third R?
The third R is getting repeat business from these new clients. I think everybody will agree that it's so much easier to keep an existing client than it is to uncover a new one. So it's really, really critical that we upsell or cross-sell our current customer, or we get them to renew if we have a type of product that they're going to use over and over again. So once we get them as a customer, what we want to do is want to make sure that we have repeat sales.
That's a great point. So it is the hardest thing you can do is find a new customer. So it just makes sense that if you have an existing customer that you do whatever you can to continue or increase that relationship or, again, go back and make them advocates so that they're sending you referrals. And what's our number four?
And our number four is what you just said, referrals, is if we do a masterful job of getting people to raise their hand with us because we've done something that caused them to reach out to us, ideally, and we run them through a great sales process, we get repeat business, then we're in a position to create those advocates and get referrals from them. And then the circle continues because now the person they refer us to is we come in with credibility and we start the process all over, and it's just a wonderful cycle as opposed to a vicious cycle that too often salespeople fall into.
Now, a lot of this stuff is, you know, a lot of salespeople in sales themselves are creative. They like to be in front of people and making their presentation, and they might not be really good at developing these processes and the pipeline systems and things like that. So of the four R's, which one do most companies struggle with the most?
Without a doubt, it's what we talked about earlier was getting people to raise their hand to initiate that conversation. And whether you call that marketing or whether you call that prospecting, the overwhelming majority of organizations out there really struggle to figure out how do I, on a consistent basis, get people out there that I want to do business with to engage in that initial interaction or that initial conversation. Some companies, you know, do it old school where it's direct mail or TV or radio, and some of them are doing it more the social media. So, but whatever your target audience is and where they are at in terms of how to get in touch with them, the companies just need to be laser beam focused to make sure that they're doing the right things to get people to raise their hand and to have that first conversation. And hopefully that conversation is they're having the conversation from a position of authority and credibility as a salesperson, as opposed to really begging, you know, to meet with somebody. And Bill, I know that you've experienced this in your career and listening to fellow salespeople say something like, "Can I just stop by for 5 minutes and tell you what I do?" That's not a whole lot of credibility and authority in today's environment because people are busy and they don't have those 5 minutes. So we have to do things differently today.
Yeah, absolutely. The days of the yellow pages are gone. That's the problem with a lot of this, I think, especially for our audience, which is typically age 50 plus business owners. And they're saying, you know, I don't even get what Facebook does or whether it works or LinkedIn or Twitter or any of this kind of stuff. So how do I create messages for it? And that's where, of course, you need to bring in people who know what they're doing there, who know rules of thumb, publish sales messages every time. You're trying to build likability and credibility, like you said earlier. So now, of these four R's, which one do companies do the best job in?
I think the majority of companies do a very good job of getting repeat business from current customers, obviously, because intellectually we know that it makes sense. It's easier to keep that client as opposed to get a new one. And then secondarily, is there a lot of salespeople out there, really good people, excuse me, that are more account managers than they are really hunters and closers. So they do a really good job of keeping that client, but don't necessarily do as good a job of going out and finding and closing new clients.
Okay, so there's different types of people out there that have different types of skills, and part of the assessment might be figuring out where you're strong and where you're weak. Should companies help people focus on their strengths or shore up their weaknesses first, do you think?
Well, I'm a firm believer that if you work on your weaknesses, all you have is strong weaknesses. So why not focus on the strengths and have people spend their time there? And I'm sure you've had guests on your show before, Bill, that have talked about strengths finders and the great work that Marcus Buckingham has done. And he talks about that 80% of the workers in this country spend time doing things that they don't like or are not good at. And he says, imagine if we could reverse that. And I really think that in the sales world, and really any world, if we can get people to focus on the things that they're good at, productivity goes through the roof. So as an example, account managers are incredibly important to a sales organization. So let's put account managers in the account managers' roles, and the people who are great hunters, let's let them go hunt and not manage the account because they don't really like that.
I'm hearing that a lot. Yeah, that you don't want to necessarily rely on people to have to do the full spectrum of things. You're better to have a team of specialists and have them do it well, and then focus. You'll get much better results. Is that what you're saying there?
Exactly. And you know what's really interesting, Bill, is I'm seeing in the high tech world, who a lot of these organizations are in the big scheme of things, brand new companies. I mean, they might be 5 or 10 or 15 years old, but in the big scheme of things, that's a new company. They're not shackled by the old methodologies of doing business. So they're putting together teams of sales pods, if you will, salespeople, and each one of them do what they specialize in. One could be lead generation. One could be to get the appointment. Then you have somebody who's going to close the deal, and then they hand it off to somebody who's going to manage the account. So they're looking, you know, at the lens differently than some of the old stodgy companies that have been around forever that thinks that one salesperson can do things equally well, and we know that's not the case.
So it's really a matter of looking at things a little differently than you have before, both from the standpoint of how you get people, how you get your message out, how do you get people to raise your hand, who do you work with on that? Yeah, I mean, these days, you might be better off having someone who's younger who's familiar with social media and all these types of things, who gets that from the start, than trying to retrain your 52-year-old salesperson who might be a really good thought leader and positioned for that, but doesn't have the mess, you know, doesn't understand the new media and that type of thing. So building these teams out. Now, Chris, when you work with the companies, do you go on site with them? How do you work with companies?
Well, and it's kind of interesting, as we talked about doing things differently, what we're finding is that not all companies want to take an entire day or 2 days or an entire week to bring salespeople in and take them out of the field. So we do a combination of things. We do anywhere from, you know, going on site and conducting a class to doing webinars and we're doing more and more what I call e-learning, where we're creating the curriculum and allowing the salespeople to view it at their convenience, but monitoring to make sure they are, in fact, viewing those videos. And so, to me, what I have found, Bill, is that the best is typically when we use a combination of all three. And here's the reason why, is because it gives us the opportunity to do so many more touches, as opposed to just waiting to once a quarter or once every year to get people together and do a learning program. This way we can continually be in contact with them and help them get a little bit better each and every time we touch them.
That makes a lot of sense, and it's a transference of knowledge, keeping a salesperson, you know, out of the office or off the sales grid for a day is very expensive. So it's important to get two people and get them up to speed. And how do our listeners get in touch with you best, Chris?
One way is they can send me an email, Chris, C-H-R-I-S, at thesalescoach1, and that's the number one, Chris at thesalescoach1.com, or they can give me a call at 206-419-7440.
Okay, and you do workshops for business owners as well, is that right?
Absolutely. I really enjoy getting in front of business owners and finding out what their challenges are and help them work through some of those challenges in that workshop environment, where we also can get into the knowledge of the other people in the course.
Great information. Thanks for joining us today. I really appreciate it and look forward to the next time. I think we can go a lot deeper on this topic, and let's do that at some time in the future.
Bill, thank you very much. It's been my pleasure.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this message, so please stay tuned. Does thinking about what will happen to your business if you're gone keep you awake at night? Will you get the price you need from your business to carry you through retirement? The BEI Network of Exit Planning Professionals is the world's leading advisor network with the power to help business owners transition out of business on their own timeline and terms. Ask your most trusted advisor to create a BEI plan for you or visit us at exitplanning.com. That's exitplanning.com.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.